We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Don't look now. My Last Dance Warriors still alive. Still alive and climbing in the standings. Hey, welcome to the show. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff win a crucial game last night against the shorthanded Los Angeles Lakers, Perloff. And it's not usual for us to just be reacting off of one game, especially down the stretch here of the NBA season. But this was a big one last night. LeBron was battling the flu. No Anthony Davis in this game. And the Warriors put up 70 points by halftime. And one, you know, cruise basically to a victory. This is my Last Dance Warriors alive and kicking, and maybe able to find a way to get a home game for the play-in.
There's two problems with your Last Dance Warriors. One, the Warriors, Last Dance means like the Michael Jordan documentary. You have to win a title in your last year, which is tough. Maybe they could do that. The other part is they're obviously going to be back next year, too. Why do you think this core is like, what makes you think that they don't want to run this right back?
Because I still think it's possible for a Steve Kerr walkaway. I know that's crazy because he just got a contract extension. Well, it just feels like if they actually were to win, I think this is a ride it off into the sunset. I don't know if Klay's coming back. I don't know.
I feel like there's a new, I think Klay's staying in the fold. I feel like I've got this vibe that they're pulling Klay back into the fold. And obviously Draymond's back and obviously Curry's back. So anyway,
you could trade Draymond. I mean, again, I think changes would be coming.
Trade Draymond? Who would watch Draymond Green?
Well, I mean, everyone talks about how he's such a winner and how they couldn't do this if he wasn't exactly the way he is. So
you're
and they might be sick of the antics again.
Yeah, what team would take a 33-year-old guy who scores 5 points a game who makes $40 million a year? Anyway, regardless, the Warriors, the part that I do think is dangerously close to coming right is the Warriors could make a run because the 10th seed and the first seed in the West are basically the same thing. Ignore the seeding. This is a wide open tournament. This is a big win because I think if the Warriors get the home game in the play-in, they're getting out of the play-in. Because their opponents, the Lakers, I mean, come on, Anthony Davis. I tuned in last night and Rui Hachimura is starting. I'm like, this is not going to work.
Wait, you can't say come on, Anthony Davis. He's got a headache and nausea. LeBron James playing with the flu, as I mentioned.
Come on.
Headache and nausea. Perloff, he couldn't play.
This is basically two games in a row that he's missed because he didn't play much in the loss to Minnesota.
Because his eye got all scratched.
Of course he's
up.
Not showing. I mean, that's the thing with Anthony Davis. When you need him, he will not be there at the end of the day. And they don't know if he's going to play in the last two games. It is typical. Are you surprised at all when you see the headline Anthony Davis out in key game?
Well, no, but I'm not surprised, but usually it's some kind of like ankle, knee, something like that where he stepped on somebody's foot and rolled an ankle. This time, headache and nausea. I mean, what do you want him to do?
I don't know. And then LeBron shows up to the game with a hoodie drinking tea. Oh, my God. It's like, what is it? My kid trying to fake out of school here? What is going on? These are professional athletes, not fifth graders.
But their bodies, they're just people. They can get sick. You realize
Yeah, you know, Michael Jordan got sick and showed up and dropped 44 on the Jazz.
And who's bringing up Jordan now?
Okay, because I thought the Lakers you've been all in on the Last Dance Warriors. I've been all in since the All-Star break that the Lakers are the team, and they had been the team. They've been unstoppable, been the best team in the league other than the Celtics since February 1st. And now it's all falling apart just like that. They were shooting up to be the 7, maybe even get out of the play-in altogether. They were the 8 seed.
Yep.
And now they let it go by dropping two games that they probably should have won.
Well, okay.
I mean, because it was home.
Because they were home games, but again, you have your two best players who are battling all types of calamities. This is just really bad
luck. Types of calamities? What is happening here?
They're sick. I don't know what to tell you. So, meanwhile, we're talking about the Golden State Warriors beat the Lakers last night. They're careening towards playing each other in the first round of the play-in because they'd be the 9-10 seed. Yep. However, Golden State, they still could climb.
So could the Lakers.
So could the Lakers because Sacramento and Phoenix are there as well, and they have tough schedules coming up. So this is going to be really fascinating. I think one of the big things and a question for you guys, who do you trust more, the Lakers or the Warriors? Because we've both talked about how, yes, despite the fact that this is the last possible, you know, two slots to make the playoffs, and again, you have to win two games to make the play-in from the 9 or the 10, to make the playoffs, throw the seeds out, because these two feel like extremely dangerous teams, because we've seen when they are clicking, they have the experience and the firepower to be able to make noise in the playoffs.
Well, yes. And even though the top seeds in the West are Minnesota, OKC, and Denver. Denver, obviously, you want to avoid. But since, you know, the last quarter of the season, Golden State and LA have been as good as anybody. They've certainly been better than Oklahoma City. So I think that they'd be favored in any of those series. You have to knock out Steph Curry, and these are longer series if they get into the actual playoffs. You're telling me you can knock out LeBron and Steph Curry? I would bet on the Lakers and the Warriors to advance against either of those teams. So they're going to be in this mix.
Well, the other part is, I think you're looking at the top of the Western Conference, and outside of Denver, and maybe, well, no, just outside of Denver, who proved last year that they can do it, you have questions about the other top seeds. You're telling me you're all in on Minnesota? You're telling me you're all in on OKC?
No, nobody is.
You trust the Clippers? You're telling me that you trust the Mavs. I mean, nobody's playing better right now than Luka and Kyrie in their backcourt, but I don't know anybody who says, oh, book it, Mavs are going to the Western Conference Finals. You know, so that's the other part of this is, and forget about Phoenix and Sacramento, the trust factor isn't there with a lot of these teams in the West, despite the fact that they've been putting together these great seasons.
Well, right. I think if things fall right for the Mavs, they could easily get to the Western Conference Finals and lose to the Nuggets. The key is you just got to get the right matchup here. You got to avoid Denver. I mean, honestly, I don't think you want to see Golden State if you're any of these young teams. If you want to advance.
I trust Golden State more than I trust the Lakers at this point. If you're asking me, who do I trust more? Is it Golden State or the Lakers? This is not just because my preseason pick was the Warriors. I still believe that when push comes to shove, they are the better team.
Yeah, I mean, if I gave you Golden State, is there anybody who scares you in a playoff series?
Well, Denver.
Other than Denver. Take out Denver. Do you think... So that's a good place to be. What about the Lakers? Could you say the same thing for them? LeBron, say LeBron and AD get healthy. Is there anybody who's better than them?
Well, again, I need healthy AD, and then I need consistent AD also. Yeah. And at that, I don't know.
Well, I kind of like
a great season.
I kind of like the Lakers a little more because I think the Golden State could have height problems in a lot of these matchups. Obviously, you who are their big men? I mean, Kuminga is going to hold down the fort, and Draymond. You could get against a taller team that would give you trouble, where the Lakers beat up on smaller teams. So I still maintain the Lakers have a little bit of a better shot because of the size. I think the size in the Western Conference playoffs is a problem for Golden State.
EJ, let's throw it up on a poll, if you don't mind. Who do you trust more, Lakers or the Warriors? You can go to @MaggieandPearl. You can vote and tell us what you think. You can also give us a call at 855-212-4CBS. Now, there's one other part of this that the Warriors have to deal with that the Lakers don't have to deal with, and that is the, you know, firecracker nature of Draymond Green. And at any point, he can do something that is going to hurt your team.
Have to deal with or have as an advantage?
It's an advantage and some days it's a disadvantage. Well, that's the mixed bag.
He got kicked out against the Magic a couple weeks ago, and they've done nothing but won every game since then. So tell me where the disadvantage is. What's the problem?
I hate playing the results there, not the process.
No, I think that's part of the process. Like, you need firecracker Draymond Green. If you have a tepid Draymond Green, you're not winning anything.
Well, he's just lucky now that somehow the NBA decided to stop calling all fouls. So maybe this is setting up for Draymond Green. They just do not foul. They do not call fouls anymore in the NBA. Now, this was interesting because you know what I'm talking about. Draymond, you never know. He could come out, he could get ejected in the first quarter, he could completely leave his team high and dry, or he could play like he did last night, which is awesome, and he could be one of the reasons that they are, you know, alive again in the postseason. So here is Draymond and Klay Thompson having a conversation on Draymond's podcast where Draymond asked him candidly, what is it like for you when he gets ejected and when Draymond gets suspended? What does that do for Klay and extension Steph Curry?
When you're not out there, it's like a piece of us is gone. We can never be ourselves and have the freedom we do on the court without you. So I know the other team is very happy you're not out there. They relax a little bit. They let their hair down because our muscle's gone. Our enforcer, the heartbeat of our team, is not out there.
Okay, he continued on saying the Warriors just aren't the same without Draymond.
We've been through so many battles, reached the mountaintop, been down the mountain, had to climb back up, and now we have another real shot at this. So at the end of the day, we just need you. And that like disappointment and that feeling of shaking your head that just comes from like, dang, man, we can't do this without you. And we're not the Warriors without Money Green. That's just a fact.
So Draymond responds to that and he goes, like, wow, I really didn't know that was like, that was really hard for me to hear, you know, hard for you to hear. Michael, why did they have this conversation 8 years ago? I mean, that's a good conversation. I think Clay laid it out very, you know, succinctly, well communicated there. We need you. You intimidate the other team. And the moment you get kicked out, they let their hair down and it's more of a burden on me and Curry. And why they have not had this conversation every day since he kicked LeBron James in the junk in 2016 in the finals, I don't understand.
Clay, you think Clay talks to anybody ever at any point? Clay Thompson's probably the quietest guy in the NBA.
That was beautiful what he just said.
Yeah, I know. That's in front of a mic. And also, too, if you the setup, like Draymond was already like kind of led him in that direction. I disagree a little bit. I think this idea that Draymond can be anybody else but Draymond and still be Draymond, if that makes any sense, is ridiculous. He's got to be this player on the, he's got to be on the edge. So, I mean, because so you, the reason that he's this tough guy in this muscle is because you never know what Draymond's going to do. And he's all amped up and he gets so fired up during a game. So I think you're, you know, you have the risk of throwing the baby out with the bathwater if you tell Draymond, just go out there and behave. Then he's not Draymond Green.
Perloff, you could be throwing the titles out with the bathwater. You already have thrown titles out.
You're not getting, you don't win a title without one slightly psychotic player. That's the way the NBA works.
Okay, but that slightly psychotic player has to understand exactly when to turn on and turn off the psychosis.
I don't think it works like that. I don't think you could do that.
They could have five rings right now. They could have five and not four.
Yeah, but if he didn't, if Draymond Green wasn't a bit on edge, if he wasn't on that edge, I don't think they win all those titles. Like, they need him to be the Dennis Rodman type. They need him to be like Vernon Maxwell was with the Rockets. You need a little bit of that edge. Like, you can't have Draymond just be well-behaved Draymond and still be as effective. There's a reason they're scared of him on the court, because you never know what Draymond's going to do.
Okay, but how about you get just a slightly dialed back, and not only do you still have that ring that you lost to the Warriors, or the Cavs, that the Warriors lost to the Cavs in 2016, but not just that, you probably still have Kevin Durant for a couple more years. And we can sliding doors this thing if he doesn't tear his Achilles. You might be, like, have leaps and bounds in between you and LeBron James. You could have been so far ahead of this thing. There are so many ways, I think, where Draymond has cost the team. So I don't think it's too much to ask a professional athlete to understand where the line is.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what you said. That sounds great in theory, but that's not how this kind of player works. I mean, you know, like, you know this kind of guy. He's the pot stirrer.
Yep.
He's the guy who's going to fight with officials. Like, all that has a positive. Why do you think Steph Curry and Klay Thompson are allowed to be these mild-mannered guys through the years? It's because of Draymond. And to be that tough guy, you have to be a tough guy. You can't rein it back. If Draymond reined it back, what's the point? Like, I don't understand. Like, everyone's
saying,
to win
more. That's why you rein it back, to win more.
Yeah, but you can't be Draymond Green and be halfway in.
So this is the other part, though, of the Warriors. That's the wild card that the Lakers just don't have to deal with. And we're asking the question, who do you trust more? Would it be the Lakers or the Warriors? And I'm still saying the Warriors, but I will acknowledge that the Lakers don't have this. You know, they don't have one player who may be in danger of flying off the handle and getting ejected. Like, they don't have to worry about any of that stuff.
Well, they have a much, much bigger problem, though, is that you do not know if Anthony Davis and LeBron James are going to be there. You just don't at this point.
Well, so that's LeBron, a way. Davis is whether or not he shows up day after day.
I mean, you're worried about Draymond. No, I think LeBron has been missing a lot of games.
Oh, well, that's just because he has the flu.
No, he's also got this. He's got lower body injuries, too.
I thought that was load management. I thought we all acknowledged that was LeBron load managing. No?
Oh, okay. I mean, listen, he has not been consistent in this run. No, I feel way more confident Draymond will be on the court in the playoffs than Anthony Davis and LeBron. And maybe LeBron will show up, but... Yeah, if you're worried about Draymond, I think you're misplacing your worry there. Well, he'll show up. First of all, they're not going to kick him out of the playoffs again.
They do not call fouls in the NBA anymore. That's it. All those games where James Harden got to go to the line 30 times and all of that, it's over. There was a game last night between the Boston Celtics and the Milwaukee Bucks where the Boston Celtics attempted 0 free throws and the Bucks attempted 2. That's it. The directive has come down from on the mountaintop. Do not call fouls anymore. And this is what we have. Meanwhile, our question for you, who do you trust more, the Lakers or the Warriors? I say the Warriors. Perloff says the Lakers. It looks like they could play each other in the play-in game next week. Okay, that's on the table for you. Also, Draymond Green's comments and Klay Thompson explaining exactly what they lose when Draymond gets ejected. Like, we had to have this conversation a little late. If you ask me. Coming up, we've got major news for you from the college ranks. We'll get to that in just a moment. It's Maggie and Perloff, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back to the Maggie and Perloff Show. So finally, Milwaukee looked dangerous last night for the first time all season against the, what looks like the unbeatable Celtics. I mean, the most obvious bet is the Celtics coming out of the East. Milwaukee shows up, destroys them last night, but we got some bad news towards the end of the game. They pull Giannis.
Oh, unfortunately, Giannis, non-contact injury, just goes down in a heap because he has a calf injury. So they're going to do the MRI. They're going to, you know, check out not just the calf, but also the Achilles. He was listed prior to the game with a left hamstring injury and then got upgraded to probable, missed a few games in March with some Achilles stuff, Achilles tendonitis. And so now you're just at, you know, building and building and building. Doc Rivers was asked about it after the game. I believe we have some Doc.
That's a good question. Hi, I would say that. But, you know, Giannis, I think everyone probably feels the same way as I do right now. So we're just going to hope for the best.
That was Doc Rivers asked about his concern level on Giannis's calf. And, of course, the spin doctor is in the house. Now, I don't know how bad this Giannis injury is going to be. I'm not trying to make light of it. But is this not setting up as the all-time perfect excuse for Doc Rivers and for the Bucks if they fall short of expectations? Like, well, what were we supposed to do?
Well, I mean, you're saying if Giannis is in there, yeah, of course. But honestly, does he even need any excuses? Does anybody think the Bucks are beating the Celtics in the playoffs? I think they've moved beyond excuse points, right?
It's been, I mean, it has not been the gangbusters season since Doc Rivers took over. I believe after winning last night, they're now at least 500 under Doc Rivers. They're 16-16 after they started the season 30-13 and then fired their head coach because of the defensive issues. And now they've just had every type of issue.
Right.
Dame Lillard had some issues. Chris Middleton lost a tooth the other day. Chris Middleton, Giannis, and Dame, I saw this yesterday, have only played in 8 games together in the Doc Rivers era.
I think they're barely a story if all those guys are there. If Giannis goes away, then we don't even need the spin doctor because I think they're completely irrelevant, right?
Well, I don't know if he's going to go away, though. I don't know how bad this injury is going to be.
Okay, so you're arguing the spin doctor will be if he does play and they lose. But I think,
by the way, Doc would have done this for your team, the 76ers with Joel Embiid. He's waiting to spin this thing with an injury.
I think it's funny. I don't think anyone's buying the spin or even like is going to even care what Doc says at this point. Because I think everyone's given up. I haven't heard one NBA analyst say the Bucks are a dangerous team. I mean, it's done, right? Or maybe I'm misunderstanding this team. It feels like the East, they might as well just cancel the entire playoffs, put Boston in the finals, and we'll see you in June.
Okay, but Boston has proven that in big spots, they can fall short. I mean, they can no-show. They've no-showed game sevens before in their own building.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like that's going to happen this year. It doesn't feel, with or without Giannis, it makes any difference. I could be naive here, but they have no chance. I'm going to go no chance for the Bucks to come out of the East this year.
Absolutely no chance. So I don't know if I can go with no chance.
I mean, Doc Rivers is their coach, Maggie. You're talking about Game 7. What if they get to a Game 7 and Doc is on the sideline? That's in the no chance category.
No, for Doc, it's really bad if you're up 3-1. Then you're in a really dangerous spot.
Oh, yeah. No, that's the last place you want to be.
not good. But think about I was thinking about this from the Dame Lillard point of view. Right? Dame Lillard, a god in Portland, you know, wanted to finish out his whole career there, but obviously didn't end up working its way out. Then he wants to go to Miami more than anything. He only wants to go to the Miami Heat. Instead, gets sent to the Milwaukee Bucks, not exactly Miami, and nothing has really gone right for them. It's been bad vibes. Dame's been, whether it's homesick or something, he's, you know, had some issues adjusting to life in Milwaukee. We know that. And now if Giannis is out, and let's say Giannis misses the rest of the season, now it's just Dame again. This is just like back in Portland.
Yeah, I mean, but again, though, I think that story had already he'd already failed here. It feels to me, I mean, look at the teams that they've lost to. They can't beat anybody the second half of the season. So you're right. And the funny thing is
they beat the Celtics last night.
I know. It's just all of a sudden they show up and show some life. But I think the Celtics, you know, they're not playing for anything.
Nope.
So you can't really take anything away from that game, in my opinion. The funny thing, too, Miami looks worse than ever. So I'm not sure Dame would have found a great spot to get to the finals either way, unless he'd gone to Boston. I mean, to me, it's interesting. Doc can say whatever he wants at this point. you don't need a spin doctor. You're just not as good a team as Boston, even after what we saw last night. So if I'm Giannis, I would be cautious for that reason. Like, if you have, like, who'd you think of when you saw the description of this injury?
Durant.
Durant.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you have, they said it's the back of his calf, yeah. Which back of his calf means right above his Achilles. Like, why risk it this year, right? If there's any doubt about that and he blows out his Achilles, are we all going to say, oh my God, you got to stop this? But we're not doctors, but that is like, we just saw the Durant thing.
Yeah.
And they put him back in a month after he injured the same part of his leg. Yeah.
If he's lucky, maybe he can get an appointment with your old doctor where you got scabies from the from the Whirlpool.
Yeah, I mean.
Maybe we can get Giannis a little bit better care. That guy was out of network.
The second that word Achilles comes up, and I know Aaron Rodgers has solved the Achilles problem through medical science.
He was on a new podcast, by the way. It was a little juicy. We can get some clips from that.
I just think the second you hear Achilles, it's, as a fan, I'm like immediate panic.
Well, especially when you're 6'10".
Yeah. Well, any position. I mean, listen. Kirk Cousins, you go down the list. I know it's much better, but if Giannis has any issues with that part of his body, honestly, like, he better not come back. If he got hurt, the NBA would be so sad. It'd be terrible not to have Giannis.
855-212-4CBS. So we're talking about the Bucks, some injury stuff with Giannis last night. We'll see what the latest is with his calf and Achilles. And then also our poll question today, who do you trust more, the Lakers or the Warriors? Start with a lot of NBA today. Andrew Bogish is here. Good morning, Bogues.
Guys, good morning. All your headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career path with flexibility and great pay and benefits? Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today. Now, you guys began the show talking about the Lakers, the Warriors, the depth of the Western Conference playoff bracket, but none of that matters because whoever comes out of the West ain't beating my Sixers.
Sixers 67, Detroit 59, but the Sixers got to get going. Is it B with an unbelievable behind-the-back shot? He was falling down. He thought he was fouled. He flipped it up as an afterthought and made it.
Tom McGinnis on Sixers Radio. Philly's so hot, they're scoring without even looking at the rim. The win streak is 6 after this 120-102 decision over Pearl's Pistons. Take that, buddy.
The 6, by the way, we're talking Detroit, San Antonio, Memphis, OKC without Shea, and Toronto. They have beaten nobody.
Do you like anything? It's a 6-game win streak for a team that sucked before 6-8.
Oh, Tom McGinnis, the broadcast, felt like he was about to fall asleep in the middle of that clip. You know how you play these hockey clips where everyone's excited? That was the exact opposite. Like, the Sixers are winning, but this is really, this
Joel
is bad.
Joel Embiid, hater. Joel Embiid, 37 points, 11 rebounds, 8 assists. His team stays 1 game behind the Pacers for 6th in the East. Indy outscored Toronto last night 140-123. The Clippers are your Pacific Division champs after a 105-92 win in Phoenix. LA started that game with a 35-4 run, even though Kawhi Leonard and James Harden were out. The Pelicans won in Portland 110-100, so they are the 6th seed in the West at the moment. The Suns dropping to 7th, and the Mavericks clinching a top 6 spot with their latest W, 130-104 in Charlotte. They've now won 15 of 17. Luka had 39 points, 12 boards, and 10 assists. The man of many talents and many nicknames, Robbie Avila, is in the transfer portal. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Larry Nerd, you know him, you love him. He is likely to follow head coach Josh Schertz to St. Louis, which means A-10 basketball, which means you guys can come with me to Fordham in the fall, and you can see Steph Blurry in
Rose Hall Gym.
Rose Hill Gym.
Rose
Thanks,
Hill Gym.
Maggie.
Close enough.
I would love to do that. Yeah. Can you get us some tickets? Because that's going to be a hot item on the secondary market.
I'll ask now. If I don't ask soon enough, there is a possibility of getting a no. So I'll ask now, and then we'll wait for the A-10 to smartly schedule St. Louis to come to New York, and then you guys will be there.
You know, this is up to the A-10. We are sunk. Wait, hold on. Is there anything special that we can do? Like, you know, do they do anything pregame? Like, do you get to do like a ceremonial anything at Fordham that we can try, that Perloff and I can try to wiggle our way into?
I don't think basketball does like ceremonial opening tips.
Like a first pitch, the equivalent of a first pitch.
Like our boss, Spike Eskin, got to ring the bell at the Sixers game. I realize that's a little rich. They do a 76ers podcast.
Yeah. Now, there is a victory bell on campus that gets rung after anybody wins a game. Now, maybe you guys could ring that if Fordham beats Robbie Avila and the St. Louis Billikens.
Well, that's not going to happen, so we're going to worry about that.
Didn't you guys just retain some big player?
Yeah, I mean, relatively speaking, a big player, yeah. You know what? You guys maybe could, like, intro the players when they take the floor. Not the full introduction, but just like, you know, ladies and gentlemen, here are your Fordham Rams. We can maybe get you that.
I was going to say, not to, like, you know, dirt off the shoulder name drop or, you know, anything like that. Not to try to brag. But I once got to be a ceremonial coach at a Rutgers spring football game.
Yeah.
Highlight of my life.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm good.
Fordham,
I think Rutgers won
awful.
Three games that season. Clearly, it was a little of my magic.
Unless I'm checking into the game for the Fordham Rams, I'm not driving up to Fordham. Do you realize how bad the traffic is around game time?
I'll get on the subway. Come on.
That subway ride's like 2 hours. By the way, St. Louis, anyone else have an issue with colleges that have the same name as a city? It's just like St. Louis. Denver. I've never liked college names like that.
Charlotte. I thought you were going to say something better than that. I thought you were going to say, why the hell is St. Louis and Fordham the same conference?
Like, yeah, that's a really, another great question. Hey. It just feels, I think it's part of the same
geography.
Thing. It's just so random.
Oh, geography. I thought you meant because of like the play style, like the success of the program.
Bogut just said that let's get St. Louis on a trip to New York City. Yeah. Alone was like, what are we doing here? These are conference folks.
You realize that Stanford's now in the ACC, right?
Oh, I know. That's why Tara Vanderveer, I think, quit or retired. She was. Well, she's not a quitter, of course. But she was like, cross-country flights without Cameron Brink? Pass.
Yeah. You know what? I feel that. She's got enough travel miles to last a lifetime. She doesn't need that.
There's definitely nothing Atlantic about St. Louis to be in the Atlantic.
Who can name an NBA player out of St. Louis?
I can. Larry Hughes.
Yeah, Larry Hughes. Mm-hmm.
Is there another one?
I doubt it, but it was. I always think immediately, say, oh, that's where Larry Hughes went.
Also, now, big cameo in a Nelly music video, yes.
You want to feel old that Larry Hughes Jr. also played at St. Louis recently?
What?
You're kidding me.
I am not even a little bit.
That's crazy. That's awesome.
Wait a minute. What?
Yep. Ray Allen's kid was just at Rhode Island, but I think he's transferring. So the A-10's good at collecting the sons of players.
Yeah. Larry Hughes played till 2012. He's not been gone that long.
Right. But old enough to have a kid already
it's been
in college.
Years. So kind of.
Where were we? Oh,
well,
yes.
Then he went to Europe.
Robbie Avila, so good at basketball, but can he do this?
Leclerc's pitch, swung on, fly ball, left center field and deep. Back is Jankowski, at the wall, a three! Homer night for Shea Langeliers! The killer kid delivers!
Ah, the killer kid, so sweet, murdering three baseballs last night. Three homers for Shea Langeliers, the last a go-ahead two-run blast, top nine. He and the A's beating the Rangers 4-3. Mike Trout hit his sixth homer of the season, but his Angels lost at home to the Rays 6-4, and a Christopher Morel grand slam got the Cubs a 5-1 win in San Diego. Red Sox infielder Trevor Story needs season-ending surgery for a broken bone in his shoulder. Story has only played 145 games over three seasons since moving to Boston. EJ just mentioned it. Legendary Stanford women's basketball coach Tara Vanderveer is retiring. She has over 1,200 wins, the most in NCAA history. And we check at the bottom of the NHL Eastern Conference playoff picture. Now the Capitals snapping their six-game skid, a 2-1 win in Detroit. They now hold the second wild card spot, 1 point better than those Red Wings and the Penguins. The Flyers are 2 points back of Washington after taking a 9-3 beating at home from Montreal last night.
Well, speaking of beating, how about your team? We're going to get to that.
Do you want to discuss the difference in points between your two teams? Yes, because you won last night. The Rangers won on all the other days.
I am not talking about that. We're talking about the Islanders and Rangers, folks. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about last night's game in particular.
Yeah, the Islanders won 4-2, and again, that means nothing for the Rangers because they already have 110 points while you're fighting for your
playoff
lives.
Sending a message.
Do you want to know what this is the equivalent of? This is the equivalent of like when a hockey game starts and you just drop the gloves immediately and start fighting.
This is what happened between the Rangers and Devils a couple of days ago.
Exactly. This is what just happened between Bilotti and Bogut. It's like you've been waiting to get this one in.
The Rangers are goons. Pete's team was making illegal hit after illegal hit last night, injuring players on their way to missing the playoffs.
I will say this. If I was an update anchor, I too, like Bogut, would not slander my team. You would never hear a Knicks loss in an update.
DJ, you're a newsman. How dare
Jets
you?
Loss. I'm sorry.
You didn't even come from sports. You're a news guy. You've got to be totally objective.
There's no one more manipulative in his update content than Andrew Bogut. He is picking and choosing things that make him feel good.
Not manipulative. It's strategic.
It's curated. Yeah, right. It's curated.
What's the difference between manipulated and curated and strategic? It's all the same.
Semantics.
Yeah. Do you guys play Connections on the New York Times?
Yes.
Yeah. That manipulated, curated, and strategic would all be there along with nefarious.
For Bogut update styles, I'd be honored to be a grouping in that puzzle.
I wish I got more of those right. I can admit. I'm usually good for like two or three.
Some of them are unfair. Some of them are ridiculous that no regular human would see the connection between those four things.
Yeah, it's like you have to get into this woman's brain. Do you guys know what we're talking about? Does anyone do this?
It's like Wordle.
No.
New Wordle.
It's like New Wordle. Yeah. It's a game you can play on the New York Times where they just have a bunch of words and you have to connect them, but you have no idea. It's a grid of a 4x4. And you have no idea what this woman could possibly be thinking, and you only have three guesses to get it right. Anyway.
Yeah, not for me. I stay with Wordle.
Bogish update connections. That would be quite
No. There's always honor. Something going on. Like that St. Louis Fordham report. He's always getting something in there that's pure bogus.
Yeah. I'm trying to be nice to you guys. You love the dude. I'm going to take you to see him in person. This is good news for you, and you already poo-pooed it.
Well, I'm trying to wiggle our way into it even more.
Yeah.
Do you realize how bad FDR Drive is going to be at 6 o'clock when we're going up to see Larry Nerd?
There's traffic all over this country, all right? Everybody makes it work.
And maybe it'll be a Saturday afternoon, less traffic.
And if you get there, you could probably coach the team.
That's what I'm hoping for. Can we call a play like Phil Knight?
By the way, the guy that's driving to San Antonio can't be complaining about 2 hours
Great
traffic.
Great point.
You realize
the amount of traffic you're about to hit when you have to drive from New York to San Antonio to apologize to Wendy.
Through Chicago.
Well, it depends what time of day.
Worst traffic
I think, honestly, San Antonio is closer than getting to Fordham at 4 o'clock on a weekday. And you know what I'm talking about, Bogus.
Look, you think the Chicago loop is going to be fun? Who knows when you're going to hit that city?
There's nothing like upper New York traffic. Besides,
Washington,
I've already planned this whole thing. I'm going around traffic times. You guys can't ruin my mojo on this trip.
There's no avoiding it. Yeah.
We should have to give you the route there. You shouldn't have to enjoy this trip.
Why does that bother you so much, Bilotti? It's
because
it's a
punishment. It is a punishment that you are going to see Wemby.
I would not have set this bet up if I didn't have a stake that I wanted to lose.
Then you have to go through Alaska.
I love Alaska. Are you paying for that?
That's part of your punishment.
Right, because the other part is when you get to San Antonio, you're not actually going to encounter Victor Wembanyama and have any shame or guilt to apologize. So the punishment is the drive, and now you're doing it like it's a vacation.
I think let's not rule out a possibility of Wemby.
I mean, that'd
be a resourceful show. We've got five brains in here.
I mean, that'd be amazing if we could actually get me in front of Wemby.
This is the point. I mean, this is what we're working tirelessly behind the scenes to try to set up.
I mean, listen, Wemby can't really hide in San Antonio. If he's out and about, we'll find him because...
Yeah, but you saw what his security did to Britney Spears. You will get manhandled.
Good point.
This has to be... Emails have to be sent.
I'm just saying he's one athlete I think I would recognize. If he's walking along the Riverwalk, I'm like, oh, that 7'5 guy, that's Wemby. I think we can find Wemby.
Wemby's from... France. Like, I mean, I think
you don't think he spends a summer in San Antonio?
As soon as the season's over, he will be out of there.
I know, but we have the Olympics going on, so obviously he's got a lot to do. No, he's booked. But this is why it's got to be strategic of when Perloff actually goes. This is going to be probably more like a college football type of thing.
There we go. Who's with me?
Well,
not me.
Bogish wanted to be, and you said no. Yeah.
Well, here's the other problem.
Who else is with me?
Am I taking my own car and driving to San Antonio, or do I rent a car so I can fly back? What, Bilotti?
I want you to rent a car. I care about your safety, so I want you to rent a car. So you're not screwing up your own car. There's not, like, get a new car, drive down there, fly back.
The smallest car there is.
Perloff and a Mini Cooper?
Yes. A car you can make
He's like
make
6 foot
briefcase.
Four. That would be really hard. You're like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar on a plane.
I feel like NBA players always squeeze into sports cars. I could do it.
Because they, like, take out the front seat and they're sitting in the back. Like,
is that
Will
how Shaq does it?
I think Will Chamberlain did that, right? Okay, thank you, Bogus. 855-212-4CBS. Coming up, did not see this football beef coming at all. The number one overall pick in this year's draft, taking aim at somebody we didn't see coming. We'll do that next. Maggie and Perloff, CBS Sports Radio.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. So this one is a little interesting, we thought. Greg McElroy, former Alabama quarterback working for ESPN, calls games, was on with Kevin Clark, does a podcast on The Ringer, and they were talking about Caleb Williams, the presumptive number one pick for the Bears. And here's what Greg McElroy said is the one, I guess, concern, if you can call it that, he has about Caleb.
I mean, Caleb Williams, from the time he stepped on campus at Oklahoma to the time he stepped on campus at SC, he has never experienced adversity. Very little adversity as far as how he was received and how he was portrayed as the next best guy. Even when they went 7-6 this year, or 6-6 or whatever, 7-5, it wasn't because of Caleb. I mean, he did his part, and he did.
Right. So McElroy kind of saying this could be a little bit of a wake-up call if he gets to the NFL. How is he going to deal with adversity when it inevitably hits? You know, not everybody gets a CJ Stroud rookie year
right,
where things go so well and you make it to the playoffs and win a game. You know, if there is going to be adversity, how's he going to handle it? Now, oh, there's more. Let's hear.
I do wonder about, is there a sense of entitlement? Is there that chip on the shoulder that's going to keep him going 10, 12 years down the road, the way it does Mahomes, who's still pissed that he got drafted 10th.
Man, it feels a little bit like a leap to say that he's got a sense of entitlement. Mm. I mean, I know that Caleb Williams, they've made it clear, him, his dad, that he's always wanted to be an NFL quarterback, right? Always wanted to be in the NFL. However, just because you go number one overall doesn't mean you don't have a chip on your shoulder. So Caleb Williams fired back on social media. He said, let's go back to school again because I'm bored right now. He said, you know, year one, I didn't start my freshman year. Year two, popped my hamstring on the championship game in the first quarter, lost because of my hamstring. Year three, 7-5, my last year of college ball. He believes that he did face adversity and that he did overcome it. I mean, we did see him crying in a loss after, was the loss to Notre Dame? Was it the Notre Dame game that he lost?
A Washington game, I believe.
Washington, thank you. Yeah. I mean, to say that hasn't been through adversity, I mean, sports-wise, I think you'd say he has gone through some things.
I don't know. Here, I have a couple issues here.
Okay.
Number one, you don't say I've gone through adversity. Other people say you've gone through adversity. None of the great athletes who've come through adversity would be like, are putting out a list of things that have caused adversity. That's just something like, that's such a weird self-promotional thing. Like, why are you saying, have other people talk about it. You should not be responding to this kind of criticism.
You could say I've been through a lot. Athletes say that a lot.
He actually listed this adversity. It sounded, I don't know. It's like the great adversity stories. I just find it's weird. Like, you don't need to say this. You should not be going on Twitter or responding to Greg McElroy. I mean, obviously that's not an ideal for a draft. Like, it makes him sound sensitive.
Well, okay, I can see where you're coming from. Yeah. Like, he should not...
Just do it on the field. You don't need to get on Twitter and answer your critics. What are you doing here?
It's funny because you would think that he would have already faced a lot of that criticism. He shouldn't feel like he needs to fire back. However, say someone has a sense of entitlement, that feels very personal. Now we're not just talking about sports.
I mean, a lot of what Greg McElroy said was obviously true. Everyone, since he came into that Texas game in Oklahoma, everyone's known he's been the number one pick for 3 years. And there is not a single person who cared that USC lost. Nobody was digging Caleb Williams for that. He's absolutely right. Will you agree with that? Everyone's
Caleb Williams all year long. About his body language on the sideline, about the fact that he didn't have a lot of success, even though it was on the defense. I think Caleb Williams was getting his share of criticism for how bad the season was for USC.
Totally disagree with that. I think everyone's like, Caleb is awesome, this team stinks. I think that was the overwhelming narrative because that's the facts. He was awesome, and the team stunk.
But then people started going to body language, and they were asking about character, and is he a leader in the locker room? So in the absence of, you know, any on-field stuff, because he still looked great on the field, I think a lot, there were people, let's not pretend there weren't, who filled in the blanks there and said, well, he's not a great leader, and he sits away from everybody on the sideline and took shots.
I've listened to so much draft content, and everyone says the same thing.
The fingernails being painted, the cell phone case being pink. I mean, it's not like people haven't gotten their licks in on Caleb Williams.
I totally disagree. I think everyone said Caleb was awesome, and he was always behind because the defense couldn't stop anyone. People are saying, oh, well, he freelances a lot, and he feels like he's got to score a touchdown every play. And everyone first says, well, yeah, he did have to score a touchdown every play. I don't see a lot of people saying Caleb Williams cost USC that year, like real football analysis.
Okay, but you'll agree with there me was that all he's that gotten pink criticism.
Yeah, but I mean, like, yes, there was criticism for off-the-field stuff with the pink fingernails, but nobody blamed him for USC losing I saw. I mean, if they did, they're wrong because you couldn't blame him.
I think the fact that he did, and we're talking about Caleb Williams firing back on social media at Greg McElroy, the former Alabama quarterback and current ESPN analyst who said he hasn't been through any adversity, concerned that Caleb Williams has a sense of entitlement and whether or not he has a chip on his shoulder. The fact that Caleb on social said part of the adversity he feels like he's gone through is going 7-5 my last year of college football. I think that shows he did take it personally that they were losing. It wasn't like, all right, well, you guys suck and I'm good, so later. I think it weighed on him a lot. That would be a positive for me if I'm thinking about Caleb.
Right, but
he's not just worried about his own stats and his own future.
Call me old school. Say it. Do it on the field. What are you doing here? Going on Twitter and answering? Saying, just say, come out and say, I've faced adversity. It just sounds lame to me. Man, I've gone through a lot. Like, other people could say you've gone through a lot. It kind of reminds me, and I'm going to connect it to Danny. Danny Hurley said all these things about the UConn dynasty. I'm like, why are you saying that? That's other people ascribe greatness to you. I don't understand this self-promotional. It's one thing to be a self-promotional. Another thing to say, I've gone through all this adversity. You're wrong. I have gone through adversity. Why are you arguing Greg McElroy on this? Like, just go out there and ball out.
Well, I think, listen, I'm not a proponent of firing back on social media.
It's so lame.
It's hard to win those battles.
It's not even that. It's just, it shows to me, like, dude, like, you are sensitive. It sounds like Kevin Durant, the quarterback.
Well, there is a part of it where you probably feel like, you know, you want to get the record straight, where you feel like you do have something to say. And we've seen this now more and more. Athletes want to tell their own story now. You say that, oh, leave it to somebody else to tell your story. Danny Hurley is out there saying, this was harder going back-to-back than it was for Duke and for Florida.
I thought that was lame, too. Like, dude, let other people say that about you. You're out there and saying, well, we're the best team ever. You know, whatever.
Do you realize the greatest basketball player of all time put out a documentary that was 10 parts to tell the story from his point of view?
Yes.
There is something now where some athletes will say, yo, I'll leave it to you guys to write my story. And there's others who are saying, no, I'm the one who's going to control this. And Danny Hurley saying, this was harder than what Coach K did. And for Caleb Williams to say, you are wrong, Greg McElroy. I have been through a lot of things, and I do have a chip on my shoulder. I get it.
Why? It sounds like a thou doth protest too much. Like, why do you have to come out and say that? And even, like, you kind of said the same things that he's been the number one pick for 3 years, and he's never come off that position. So that's what McElroy is saying.
Okay, but here's the thing. And when McElroy said that he's not sure if he has a chip on his shoulder or if he feels a sense of entitlement, whether you have a chip on your shoulder, in my opinion, has absolutely nothing to do with where you're drafted. You either have that you are holding yourself to this super high standard, and you either have that chip or you don't. Again, I'll invoke Michael Jordan. He made up stuff so that he could put the chip on his shoulder even after having all the success in the world. None of that, it's all in you. Like, I really believe that about athletes. We've been doing this for a long time. Either the money and the fame only makes you more of what you already are. So you either have that inside of you or you don't.
Yeah,
you have it. Going number one overall is not going to change if you truly are a great talent.
Yeah, but look at the way Tom Brady does it. Tom Brady gets up on the podium and says nothing his entire career. And we know that that's the ultimate chip on his shoulder. Like, when you have a chip on your shoulder, you don't come out and say, I have a chip on my shoulder. It's just, that's not really how you're supposed to do it. You're supposed to show up on the field, and that's where you sort of get it out there. Like, write your story on the field.
How many times did Tom Brady talk about being pick 199? After he had already been goaded. So he names his production company 199 Production. I mean,
that later in his career, but I feel like early, like, you got to just show it on the field. Like, I do not like this athletes writing their own stories. It just sounds so weird. Like, if you come out and people come out and say, like, I should be, like, number one on this list of all-time guys, like, that's for the outside.
But that's not what Caleb's doing.
Caleb, he is kind of like, he's writing his own. If that's not true, then let's go out there and just show it on the field. Do not tweet it.
Well, we're going to get both, right? We are going to get both because he is going to be on the field for the Chicago Bears.
Or we'll get the opposite where he proves that McElroy was right. If he's 7-10 and doesn't deal well with that, then McElroy will prove to be right.
Yeah, there's another part of this. I think that this applies to almost every single person who comes into the draft of any sport, because most likely you've had a lot of success, which is why you're getting drafted. So of course you're going to go to maybe a bad team, and now you're going to have to start from the bottom. That's everybody. Number one picks, number 199 picks.
I don't know. If I was Caleb's agent, I'd say, you know what? Just let it go and let's just go play football.
We get an update on one of the biggest jobs in sports next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.